the podcast with your host, Mike May.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is March 23rd, 2024. We are recording on a Saturday due to how jam-packed last week was. The Hurricanes are 71 games into the season with a record of 44-20-7, good enough for second in the Metro and third in the East. The Hurricanes were at Toronto on the 16th, at Ottawa on the 17th, at the Islanders on the 19th, versus the Flyers on the 21st, and at the Capitals on the 22nd. That is quite a week. Two back-to-backs, lots of travel. And you have to really appreciate the fact that the Canes came out of that week of games 4-0-1, getting points in every game. They've closed the gap. They're very close to first in the Metro, and they're very close to even first in the East at this point. Quickly talk about some of the themes of the week. Number one, come back against Toronto on the 16th. That's what you expect out of a team that wants to be able to win in the Stanley Cup. You got to be able to steal games when you don't deserve them. The Hurricanes come back, win that game 5-4, goes to a shootout. The resilience is great from the Hurricanes, especially when you then have to travel to Ottawa the next day and you come back and win 7-2. So first back-to-back, you get all the points out of it. You see what you want out of a Stanley Cup contender coming back against another team that has Stanley Cup expectations and then beating a team that doesn't have playoff expectations and beating them handily 7-2. Fast forward, travel to the Islanders, a team that's on the fringe of the playoffs, who's kind of been in a slump, and they take care of business again, 4-1. At the end of the day, what we're looking at is results at this point in the season, because results are what matters moving forward. It doesn't matter how you get it done. Doesn't matter how it looks. At the end of the day, we're in the part of the season where winning is the metric that matters the most. Obviously, you want them to have their game fully ramped up, but being able to find ways to win is the most important thing of playoff hockey, and the Canes are doing that. They come back home on the 21st, play the Flyers. They're able to get that win in overtime. Another team that's in a playoff spot, fighting to stay there, really came out and went after the Hurricanes. And I like the fact that, like I mentioned previously, they're finding ways to win these games. Having to travel right after that to Washington, fifth game of the week. You can expect a drop off. Super weird game between the Hurricanes and the Capitals. They end up losing that one in a shootout. It was all over the place. That's one of the games that you erase. The fact that they were able to get it to overtime, fantastic. We all know that shootouts don't happen in the playoffs, so a shootout loss, who cares? It is what it is. To go 4-0-1 on the week is fantastic. And to do it without probably playing your best hockey consistently, is a big point of emphasis for me. You're not going to have your A game every single night in the playoffs. You have to be able to find ways to win when you don't have it. The Hurricanes are proving that they're able to do that. When we look at some of the performances of that week, it's the guys you expect to get it done. You brought in Jake Guentzel to be a game changer. You were probably expecting more goals, but in that week of games, he came out with 2 goals and 8 assists. So 10 points in 5 games. He's really clicking when he's paired with Aho and Jarvis. And those are the three guys that are really hot right now. Sebastian Aho, 5 goals and 6 assists for 11 points in that 5-game stretch. Seth Jarvis has 7 goals in the last 6 games. It's a line that gels really well, that you can expect to get more production probably on the goal side from Gensel as the chemistry continues to grow. We're talking about a very short sample size here, or very small sample size here, and they've already started to find a little bit of a rhythm, and I only expect that to improve, which bodes very well for the playoffs. Considering the Canes have 11 regular season games left to figure it out, and then we'll see what happens. Goaltending, outside of the Washington game last night, has been very, very good. Freddie last week was 2-0, 938 save percentage, and is really looking to is looking like he's settling in nicely. If you look at his last five games, he's got 1.4 goals against in those five, and his save percentages have been 960, 900, 100% with a shutout, 938, 938. So he's playing well. I think he can get a little bit sharper, which is good news. He's playing well as is, and I think that there is another level to Freddie's game. And if we can get that in the playoffs, really great news. Piotr, he carried the three-game stretch where Freddie had the two-game stretch this past week. Had two games that were, well, we'll put it like this. One great game against the Islanders. We've said it multiple times now. He loves to show up against other Russian goalies, and he did so against Sorokin. Didn't play fantastic against Toronto. Played okay, like acceptable, not great. And then the Washington game was tough. 760 save percentage, 6 goals on 25 shots. Not ideal, but he was due one of those nights. They happen on occasion. He's been super consistent as of late. In his last five starts, you're looking at 920, 958, 900, 968, and then that 760 save percentage outing. He's been good. He's still young. He's the guy that's going to be a big part of the goaltending in the future, and you need him to keep getting these reps. You need him to get the experience. You need to allow him to learn how to reset after a difficult game. You love the competitiveness out of him, and you expect to see his game continue to grow. And if needed in the playoffs, or if he's the guy with the hot hand, or if they decide to rotate goalies in the playoffs, you have to be comfortable with Freddie and Piotr as of the way they're playing right now. With that being said, we look at the week, we look at the guys we've got, and we're going to skip over and switch gears a little bit here because we've been talking about what's happening during the regular season. We've gotten past the point where what's happening now matters a whole lot. You're really just hoping guys can stay healthy. You see Pesci get banged up last night. You just really want to see guys get healthy. You want to see chemistry get established with new players, and you want to see the team get to the playoffs ready to go compete. I know that penalties have been an issue with the team historically, and they have been recently. You got to figure that out. I like the chippiness with teams that they may see in the playoffs. You have to let them know that you will answer the bell and that you're ready for a physical series. I don't mind it, but it is important that this team doesn't roll into the playoffs taking tons of penalties every game. It's not a recipe for success. That's kind of where we're at. Not a whole lot else to look at this point in the regular season. So we've mentioned it on previous episodes. There's a lot of guys that are unsigned, right? We've got chemistry that's being developed between certain players. You look at the Aho, Jarvis, and Gensel line when that's together, and only one of those guys is signed past this season, being Sebastian Aho. So you got to look at the potential to sign a Seth Jarvis, a Jake Gensel, and the philosophy behind that. The expectation is for the salary cap to be $87.7 million next year. The Hurricanes currently have $56,462,000 of that tied up in contracts, which means they have around $31.2 million in change in cap space. You've got Teravainen, Gensel, Natchez, Martinook, Drury, Jarvis, Nason, Shea, Pesci, D'Angelo, and Chatfield that are all out of contract after this season. We can go ahead and say Tony's not coming back. I can pretty much put that with a 99.9% stamp at this point. We're not going to see Tony back. But the rest of the guys, you'd think they're going to take a shot at him. I think it's going to be really hard to afford a Brady Shea. We'll see what happens with a Brett Pesci. We know we have Alexander Nikishin coming up in the pipeline. You still held on to Scott Morrow through the trade deadline. This is a team that is in a position where the defense is certainly aging. The three guys that you have under contract next season are Slavin, Burns, and Orlov. Not the youngest stable of guys right there. So there may be some change of scenery. It may not be realistic for the Hurricanes to talk about retaining some of these guys. But there's at least one guy that we have to talk about re-signing right now. Yeah, I don't doubt it will happen. I'm very confident, as close to 100% as you can be on the Hurricanes bringing back Seth Jarvis. I don't see any scenario where the team doesn't shell out money to keep him on the roster. And I likely think that deal is an 8-year deal. I don't see a scenario where this management team, this coaching staff, doesn't want to extend him for the maximum term. He is the quintessential Hurricane, if we want to put it that way. He embodies everything that the organization looks for and that the fan base loves. The work ethic is elite. The skill set is great. The personality is great. He's just a great fit in general. And he can play anywhere in the lineup. He showed that. He was able to elevate Staal and Martinook when he was playing with them. He's able to play a high-level game when paired with Aho and Gensel. He can get physical. For his size, he hits a lot harder than what you would expect. And I would think that the Hurricanes consider him a very key part of the organization moving forward. So we're going to look at, throughout the rest of the year leading into the offseason, we're going to look at guys that need to be re-signed. And Seth Jarvis, right now, for me, is number one on that priority list. I think you get that deal done. I think you do 8 years and you move on. Some of these other guys are going to depend on the types of trades of the Hurricanes make in the offseason. It is not ideal to have a Jesperi Kotkaniemi making $4.48 million if he's going to end up being a fourth-line guy. It's just not going to work out. It doesn't match the Canes' philosophy. We know how much Rod loves Jordan Staal. That 3C spot is going to be very, very hard to take. And you've got competition with a Drury now, with Kuznetsov. So does that free up space if there's a move made there? It could. Do you want to pay Jesper Foss $2.4 million to be on your fourth line? Probably not. Is he a great player to have in your lineup? Yes. Is he great in the locker room? Yeah, absolutely. Is it the pay you want to pay? No, probably not. Do you see a Jesper Foss move out? Lots of interesting moves are going to happen this offseason to retain as much of the core as possible, or you're going to have to move pieces around to build around it, as we've seen with additions like Orlov, Burns, Kuznetsov, those kind of guys, like we've seen with Trocheck in the past, Brady Shea, and so on and so forth. So while we wait for playoffs, it's good to dive into these things a little bit. Just get the conversations rolling. When we get to playoffs, we'll lock in on the playoffs and then bring this discussion back up, likely throughout the offseason, as we kind of see how things unfold. Moving forward to next week, only three games. First game tomorrow at home versus Toronto. Traveling to Pittsburgh on the 26th and then back home on the 28th versus Detroit. At this point in the season, it's really, are we second in the Metro or are we first in the Metro? Can we possibly bump to first in the East? That's what we're talking about in the remaining 11 games. We'd love to see the team continue to grow, stay healthy, and go in hot into the playoffs. Appreciate you all for tuning in. Until next week.